Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. We have a nice show set up for you this evening, and we're ready to go.
Yes, the topic tonight is who really rules America, a closer look at corporations, and what if the people who live inside the bubble? The number to call is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. So, you know, who really runs America? Corporations, rich individuals, because of their money, they can buy influence. And we said often on Capitol Hill, it's become the norm since the U.S. Supreme Court say that corporations are people. So you have these super PACs who donate, you know, numerous sums of money to candidates, and just buying the influence is basically a legalized bribery. So I want people to call in, you know, talk to us about, you know, the political culture and the toxicity that, you know, has happened because the Supreme Court made that ruling. And, you know, any other topic you want to talk about. We'd love to hear from everybody. The number again is 515-605-9802. Yes, and the opening theme was ABBA, Money, Money, Money. Yes, man. So let's get started here. Where shall we start for a story?
Let's start with Israel, because that is an ongoing topic, as we know. So let's start with that. Let me see here. As we know, pressure is now growing on Israel to negotiate to release the Gaza hostages, There are currently over 200 of them being detained. And Israel keeps threatening that they're just going to start bombing and attacking Gaza City, you know, Gaza, with, you know, basically having 2 million people there and the hostages. Two were released on Friday, which were nice. They were, which is a wonderful thing. They were visiting Israel, a grandmother that had turned 85, a mother and a daughter, and they were allowed, you know, they were released. They still haven't spoken, I think, to like the reporters to tell their story. So hopefully the hostages that are there will be able to, you know, stay alive and be freed eventually, sooner than later, because I'm sure the time is of the essence. There are trucks going in now with water and supplies. There were, I believe, a total of 14 today, which is really not enough. The city is destroyed. It has no water, no electricity, no power. The hospitals do not have anesthesia for surgeries. They're using regular sewing needles to sew people up. It's horrendous. It's horrible. I don't know. Like I said, you know, we have to think about the human part as well. I think, I know that Israel is mad because that is their 9/11, so to speak, but, you know, the people that are there are also innocent, you know, minus the Hamas, of course, that's there, but they're innocent people. They were just trying to live their lives, and now they're stuck, and, you know, the city is in shambles, and it's very sad and a very horrible human story.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, as well, no war brings profit to war profiteers, warmongers, and the military-industrial complex has been around since Eisenhower days. He did warn us about the you know, the beast growing, and now it's so big that, you know, there's a need to feed the beast. And Hamas is not Palestine. You know, I'm sure a lot of people in Palestine are against war. And all I want to do is just live, get an education, you know, get proper health care and what have you. But unfortunately, we'll have Hamas and Hezbollah and ISIS and whoever else, because of religion indoctrination. You have it on the Christian side, too. We see it in this country, in America, where, you know, Christians are involved, big money is involved. So they, too, play a part in a toxic politics that's in America, where money talk and everything else walk, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how some translate this war between Israel and Hamas is the end times, the end days. You know, they're going off of Bible and what have you. And, you know, they're just not jobs, basically. A Bible is something to be laughed at. It's, what should I say, it is a book of fantasy, a fiction. And, you know, because of indoctrination, religious indoctrination, everything must turn poisonous once religion is involved. You know, so that's my take on it, really. And, you know, how do we control the beast? That is the military-industrial complex. You know, the world coming back from COVID-19, bouncing back, Joe Biden has been doing a great job, 14 million new jobs since he took over, compared to the idiot who was there before. We're just losing jobs on a daily basis, you know. And the polls show that Biden versus Trump, you know, Biden has, you know, a little lead, 2 to 3 points lead. And you have to wonder, you know, how is that even possible with 91 indictments and 4 trials set to start? You know, you're wondering if, oh, geez, you know, is there a double standard in the justice system, you know, and who's working behind the closed doors and them making deals and transferring the call to people like Donald Trump, who continue ruining America's reputation abroad. And those people who follow him are either semi-literate or not literate at all. I mean, how much evidence does one need to say what a traitorous, disgusting bastard Donald Trump is? You know, so the money people, you know, because they have money and influence, you buy that influence as your money. And now, you know, money is like praise in America, basically. Because look at the Kardashians, for example. You know, they're a perfect example of having no talent, no skill. They can't sing, they can't dance, they can't act. But because of one porno tape, boom, celebrity status. You know, this is where we come to as a country, where, you know, the rich have all the say and everybody else is just peons, basically. You know, so, and that's a sad state of affairs because America was not like this at one point. And, you know, went to hell in a handbasket, basically. It started in 1964 and then it mushroomed into this uncontrollable monster when Reagan came to power. It just got worse, progressively worse afterwards with every Republican president. You know, so it's a sad thing. And do you think America will ever come back, you know, from being like a cesspool of bullshit, basically, you know, in terms of politics, in terms of money influence in politics, and everything, basically, is revolved around money. Do you think we can change that attitude?
The other thing is, David, that we have to think about, there are many strikes going on right now in this country. So because wages have not gone up, prices have gone up, profits have gone up, corporations are making billions of dollars, the CEOs are making billions of dollars in profit, but yet the workers are not seeing that in their paychecks. Even their health insurance are not as good as they could be. I was talking to someone yesterday that works in a hospital, mind you, works in a hospital, has insurance through the hospital, pays partially through her paycheck, and she has not the cheapest plan, the middle plan, because there's three you can choose from, you know, good, better, best, and she has the middle one, and she needs an MRI, and for some reason, her copay is $1,000 for an MRI. So you have to think about this. You work in a hospital where they have all the equipment there to do it for you. You're an employee for years working there. You pay for your insurance through them, and you have it done through them, but yet you have to pay $1,000 out of pocket for one test. Where's the sense in that? Why should you even have insurance? I mean, really, it makes you want to think, what am I paying premiums for? You know, that's just so ridiculous. But these companies, corporations do. They suck every last dollar out of their employees. And, you know, the old no longer a trickle down. It's a bunch of BS. And, you know, people are mad and some are hungry and they're struggling. And we see it every day. The corporations are, you know, like I said, they're making billions of dollars. It's like the UAW workers, take them. It's over a month. I haven't paid close attention to the days, but it is over a month. And, you know, they made billions of dollars in profits. And we all know that back in 2008, they all took concessions. A lot of them were temp workers. And they didn't get paid much money at all. A lot of them, you know, their pensions, they lost their pensions, et cetera, et cetera. And now that they're making all these profits, you know, and then COVID came, of course, and then now they're back, they bounced back, they're making all these profits, making all this money, and they don't want to give it back to the employees. So they're striking, and they have the right to strike. You know, healthcare workers have been striking in California. you know, it's Blue Cross workers are on strike as well. There's, I think, 1,300 of them. They belong to the UAW, but they are on strike as well, the Blue Cross workers. So it's a domino effect because it's the same thing. They don't make the money that, you know, they deserve, because if it weren't for the employees, as we all know, the companies would not exist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and in 2021, in terms of taxes, 19 Fortune 100 companies paid no tax, and corporate profits are surging to record levels. And despite profits in 2021, many corporations are barely paying the taxes. So, for example, Amazon, you know, the federal income tax expense is $2.1 billion. Pre-tax U.S. earnings minus state and local taxes owed is $35.1 billion. And the federal effective tax rate is 6.1%. So, you know, if a company make $35.1 billion, like, you know, Amazon did, you know, the taxes that come out is $2.1 billion of that. You know, I mean, good Lord, I can't afford more. You know, ExxonMobil, AT&T, Microsoft, J.P. Morgan Chase Company, Verizon, Ford Motor Company, General Motors, Chevron, Bank of America, United Parcel Service, UPS, FedEx, MetLife, Charter Communications, Inc., Merck & Company, American International Group, Dow, Nike, or Nike, as Americans say, and Coca-Cola. Those are the companies who never pay taxes, you know?
David, look at Ford and General Motors. Ford pays 1% tax rate. General Motors pays 0.2% of a tax rate. I mean, how is that fair to the American people? To those of those that worked all our lives and have paid one hell of a lot more than, you know, even more than 9.7%, which is Microsoft. It's appalling that they get away with this. I know I know President Biden has talked about raising their taxes, but, you know, with the situation that we have in our government right now, it won't happen. It will not happen at this point. So we shall see. Who else? Oh, Charter Communications, Inc. I'm not really sure who they are, but they pay 0.2% in tax. Coca-Cola pays 7%.
Yeah, because Charter Communications in 2021 made $6 billion in profit. And so 0.2% of that is $12 million. That's peanuts. That's chump change to them, really. You know?
It is.
I mean,
it's just so
unfair. Okay, well, I've called lined up and everything. Go ahead, Lori.
Nothing. I was just going to say, even Bank of America, $30.6 billion, and they pay 3.5 in tax. So go ahead and take your calls.
Bank of America, or as I call them, Skank of America, they're thieves.
Yeah.
J.P. Morgan, the rest of them. Khalil, calling from... Oh, is this Khalil? Yeah, I think it is. Khalil, calling from... Yes. Hey, welcome, man. Who really runs America, you think?
The rich. And what makes it a little bit worse? I mean, the rich shouldn't be running America. It should be the people who are looking out for America and who help America. But the worst thing is that allows them to get away with it is you've got these so-called family values organizations that, like when Starbucks and J.P. Morgan weren't doing the customers and employees right, these so-called family values groups didn't care. Well, all of a sudden, when they allow gay rights, all of a sudden they want people to boycott, like, not only J.P. Morgan, but also Starbucks. It's like, you know, and they didn't even respect the rights of Martin Luther King Day, Starbucks, but then at the same time, the so-called family groups, they didn't really care about that, but all of a sudden you do something right, they care. So people that allow them to get away with this stuff, they're making the situation worse because these companies will see, well, I got to do something that's good in order to get called out, but if I do something that's bad, I don't get called out. because there was a group called the Family Leader that did that. They wanted, they mm-hmm. urged people to dump Starbucks coffee because they supported gay rights. But it's like, where were these guys when they were not supporting unions and supporting minimum wage and supporting Martin Luther King's Day? Like, where was the Family Leader then and FRC and all these other stupid family values organizations?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
it makes the situation worse.
Absolutely does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think that ever we'll go back to normalcy where, for example, a couple of people last couple episodes back were saying that in Britain and certain places in Europe, they have like 6 weeks of campaigning before election day, and there's strong campaign for finance reform, and, you know, the penalties are harsh if you break them. You know, we had that, you know, campaign for finance reform back in the day, the Russell Feingold, John McCain bill. It wasn't perfect, but at least it had a tight grip, you know, on rules on how to raise money, and you have to, you know, say who your campaign donors are and everything. But because of the Supreme Court ruling, we now have, you know, an open thing where corporations are people. Do you think we'll ever go back to the days of old where, you know, everything had to be, you know, reported, like, hey, John Strokes, he's not an American. He gave something like $10 million. And the campaign reform limit is like, you know, probably $10,000 per person, you know? That's just an example. Do you think we'll ever go back to normalcy like that, Khalil?
I don't know. I hope so. But I really don't know. I'm not very hopeful about that.
How about you, Laurie? You think we'll ever go back to that?
No, I do not. Mm-hmm. There's too much greed. Corporations have tasted the money now. There's so many CEOs that make, you know, millions and millions of dollars every year. You know, they barely pay any tax. You know, the wages have not gone up, and there's not enough outrage about that. A few years back, I thought that we were going to hit $15 an hour all across the board, all across the country, because they were making noise. People were making noise about it and talking about it and watching it. But we're not there. You know, in Michigan, I think it's $10.10 per hour is the minimum wage. Now, that's the minimum wage. But there are companies like, you know, McDonald's and Burger King, because they're dying for employees, and, you know, your fast food places and Coney Islands and that sort of places, they are paying more than that. But it's because they have to, because no one wants to work for $10.10 an hour. It gets you nowhere. It can barely buy you gas. So do I think it's going to go backwards? No, I personally don't. I think that people have to push to get better wages, better health care, better benefits for themselves, and really push hard like the UAW is doing right now. That is the only way, or else these corporations do not care. They don't care. Bottom line, they don't.
Yeah, for the past, how long, 7.25, the federal minimum wage, and for 10 years, CEO makes 1,294% raise compared to workers at 153%, or 15.3%, I'm sorry, you know, so inflation don't match with workers. But yes, so corporate CEOs and members of the board still get this higher raise of pay, you know. So it's very distasteful and very hurtful, because especially with union workers, with General Motors and the big three companies, where the sacrifice when Barack Obama was president saved the automotive industry. You know, they didn't have a they cut out the pension, they cut out perks and everything. And if it wasn't because of these workers, there wouldn't be the three big motor companies now in America, you know. And who did they turn to? Democrats. Democrats led the way in saving the alternate industry after Republicans destroyed everything with their trickle-down economics bullshit. It never worked in the past. It will never work now. It will never work in the future. It's been going on since Herbert Hoover days till now. And, you know, it was on steroids when Reagan took over. It was just a selfish attitude. So, I mean, America deserved better, you know. And, you know, unions is a good thing because, you know, without unions, places in the South especially, like Alabama, Louisiana, wherever, you know, if there was no unions and if there was no minimum wage, it could only... you know, say, hey, I'm going to pay you this amount, and you love it. You know, because there's a minimum wage, thank goodness. And we'll have now, which is good for workers. Anyway, I don't know what happened. Lori got cut off and everything. We'll have Elaine calling in from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. What's cooking?
Good evening. How is everybody tonight?
Oh, good, good.
Good. One of the things that people have to remember is these corporations are paying zero taxes, but when mm-hmm. they need a road or a circle or whatever, when they need roads and transportation and police and fire, we're paying the whole bill.
Mm-hmm.
For their protection, for their fire protection, for their roads to lead to their factories, to their stores, to their warehouses. And I think that the people should realize that you do not have to be a worker to organize. I think it's time people just start getting together and organizing and having a very loud voice and tell these elected, you work for us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work at your whim. You work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost sight of that.
Yeah, but let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, though. In Missouri, if you go on strike or if you have any sort of protest and everything, they could jail you for, you know, whatever reason. That's a law now in Missouri. You know, how do we get over things like that where rich people and corporations and politicians who write these laws, I shouldn't say write laws, because, you know, today's politicians for the most part are like lackeys for corporations. You know, as a corporate special interest write these laws and they vote them into law.
Media went and put out false narrative, and the good people sat back and thought that the laws they were passing were fair and just. We have
mm-hmm.
got two-fold problem here. One is we
mm-hmm.
need the fairness doctrine back, and that is
mm-hmm.
that the media are supposed to tell the truth. Let me give you an example,
mm-hmm.
and I was very proud of what I saw. I think it was CNN, or was it MSNBC? They're both good stations. And they were saying to make sure that their broadcasting was correct, they take
mm-hmm.
pictures and they research them. And they were having a hard time in Israel and in Gaza because there was
mm-hmm.
no land pictures. It was all aerial pictures. And they weren't about to tell a story. They weren't about to tell a story about what they thought happened until they were sure that that was the location it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
took them days to find out the truth. And there has been some misinformation because the media, you know, they want to make their bosses tell them, hey, come on, make it exciting. And some
mm-hmm.
of these some reporters are young and naive. We need the fairness
mm-hmm.
doctrine, where the bosses would say, make sure it's accurate, not make it
yeah.
exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other
I don't know how many.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Go ahead.
The other
yeah,
is,
I don't know how much.
We need to, when we cast our vote for president, we need our vote to count. This Electoral College has got to go, and I'm going to keep harping on that one. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many of you on air know or even listening. There's this thing called the Fortune 500 list, and there's also the more popular Forbes 500 list, the 500 corporations, and even rich individuals, you know, how much money they made and, you know, what type of business they're in. You know, some are diversifying and everything. And I'm sure when you take a stock, you know, if Jane Public, who is a secretary, work X amount of money, more than half her salary goes into taxes. Compared to the rich CEO or owner of this multi-billion dollar corporation, and he paid like probably 1% or 3% or depending on what he was in, you know, sometimes I pay zero taxes. How do we change the system so that, you know, Mr. Big Man pay his fair share in taxes?
We've just got to, we have to set the law that they pay their fair share. Now, during this hard time, their CEOs didn't lose any money. They didn't take any concessions. Yet we built their roads. We gave them the fire and the police protection. And now that the workers would like to be able to pay their bills and afford the cars that they're making, they won't give them a decent wage. Something else the public should know across the country. These prices of these cars right after the pandemic, they quadrupled. Why? There was no reason for them to quadruple. And then now the company's going to say that if they settle a contract with even half of what they want, they're going to raise the prices of the cars. That's bullshit.
Oh, just wait until after the strike and see what they're going to do. They'll raise the prices of the cars even more. And they're going to price themselves out of business because, you know, the average, let's say you lease right now, the average lease is $400 a month and up. It's ridiculous. And then go to try to buy a car, you know, they run $30,000 and up. I mean, how does a person that's making $15 to $20 an hour and has a family afford any of that? They can't. And right now, used cars are ridiculous. priced as well.
The problem with those cars at $30,000 four wheels and a steering wheel.
Pardon?
The problem with the price of those cars is four wheels and a steering wheel. If you want anything extra, it's more and more and more. So by the time you're done buying a car, you're paying as much for a car as a person paid for a house a few years ago.
Exactly. Absolutely true. When a truck can cost $60,000, there's something wrong, something terribly wrong, especially since the workers haven't gotten raises for years. So think about that for a minute. What's really going on? The rich are getting richer. That's what's going on. And the people that are working are not getting richer. And it's not that they want to get rich. They want to pay their bills and be comfortable, be able to have health care, go on vacation, you know, help their children get through school and live a life. That's all. That's all most people want, you know. And according to a 2021 White House, 400 billionaire families in the U.S. paid an average federal income tax rate of 8.2%. For comparison, the average American taxpayer in the same period paid 13%. How is that fair? It's not.
I don't know. How is it fair when the orange buffoon only paid $750 in taxes?
I know.
And then he stood up there on that stage and laughed, and he said, well, you passed the rules.
Yeah, he does. And he, you know what? You got to give him that because that's true. They did. I mean, really? They set the deck for the rich people, for the rich and the billionaires. They stack the deck for them. Absolutely. So how do you fight that? You know, how do you fight that?
I know. I have a solution. When Joe Biden wins a second term, you know, knock on wood, and gets a majority in both the House and the Senate, he can put into effect expanding the Supreme Court. Because remember, the Supreme Court who ruled that corporations are people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with a left-leaning Supreme Court, you know, it would be better. You wouldn't have the numbers to change certain things like Roe versus Wade to destroy that. And, you know, expand the Supreme Court to give us all the benefits that were fought for, people fought for years ago, like, you know, women's rights and what have you. Because Republicans currently, and the Supreme Court currently, is like they're on the wrong side of history and turn back the clock of time, the hands of time. You know, so that's the only way I see that it can be solved and resolved. But go ahead. Somebody was saying something.
No, but I'm going to say you were talking about corporations are people too. I don't know how did they come to that conclusion. I mean, I can't understand the logic, because really, you know, they're not really people. They're people that work in an entity. So
period.
Really messed us up, didn't they?
Well, I remember who coined the phrase. It was Mr. Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I don't understand where he was coming from. He sure wasn't his father. His father didn't talk like that, and his father didn't treat people like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think a corporation should have the exact same rights as an individual. I don't. Why should they?
No.
I mean, that's
no.
just unfair, you know? That's
right.
As I said, we can get into the whole conversation about it, but it's not going to do us any good because it's already done in stone unless someone comes around and overrules it, like David said, and, you know, you add to the Supreme Court eventually. But that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some sort of feedback. I don't know if anybody else hear it, but there's this feedback. I don't know what the hell is happening. But go ahead, Elaine.
These corporations, what I am wondering, how much does the gun corporations, the weapon corporations, how much taxes do they pay?
That's a good question.
I don't know. We know that they are real loose with their money when it comes to campaigns. We know that they only give to one element of the people that are running. They do not seem to give to people who want gun safety.
No.
That's another spot that should be looked at. I mean, look at all the deaths that are, and the maiming that's occurring because of their product. You know, when a car is unsafe, it's recalled. How come these guns aren't recalled? They're not safe.
Yes, the ordinary Americans are being forced to subsidize the military-industrial complex. And this year, the average American paid $1,087 in taxes just for the Pentagon contractors alone, you know. So it's through the taxpayer that, you know, we pay the taxes on behalf of the military-industrial complex. You know, and you know, tax dollars are propping up the gun lobby in this country. Some well-known gun makers hold rich contracts with the federal government as they lobby against firearms regulations. firearms and ammunition manufacturers and factories make weapons that are decried in Congress for deathly cause are paid by the government for arms. So in many cases, the profits they earn from their taxpayer-funded contracts are being invested in lobbying the government against gun control laws and for the marketing of their own weapons to civilians. So there you have it. You know, that's the answer. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the first things the House and the Senate should do after everybody goes out and votes blue like they should is we should eliminate the lobbyists.
After years, Elaine. I've been saying that forever. But, you know, once again, it's the same old story, different day. And a lot of them, you know, we know that they leave office and that's what they become. They become lobbyists because they can make, you know, they know the ins and outs, you know, of the government and they know everyone that works in there. So, you know, they've made their friends and it's just like a revolving door of sickening, you know, money.
Well, you know, the average person can only visit the House and the Senate so many times without them filing expensive paperwork to become a lobbyist. And that's ridiculous. I think that average citizens should be able to go to Washington if they want to and lobby for what we need as a populace.
Of course. But
no, they've got rules set up that if you visit so many times, you've got to fill out paperwork, and it costs you an arm and a leg to get that paperwork done.
Because they know
that's wrong.
They know the average person will not go through, you know, won't jump through those hoops and pay the money. They just, you know, they just won't.
Then we ought to eliminate that part of it.
Of course.
That's a start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, when we go back to the, you know, to the guns, to the gun lobbies, I mean, the manufacturers, you know, the legislation, it goes to curtail the rampant gun violence in America is held up in the U.S. Senate, you know, and the archaic filibuster rule requires 60 votes to advance legislation to a vote, and where the bare Democratic majority have not made it a priority to change the rules. So this is the problem. It's like they know what's wrong. They know how to fix it. It takes them 20 years to fix something. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
But overnight they can pass laws against
them. People die, you know, by gun violence. I mean,
speaking of gun violence, Michigan lost another resident. To gun violence. It was a domestic violence problem. He probably needed help. He was a veteran, and he blew his wife away. And now the kids will not have a mother or a father.
Well, when was that, Elaine?
That happened just a few days ago.
Oh, wow, that's terrible. Terrible. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it not all of this, the gun violence because of what's going on with the war is being reported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought I would bring it to the attention of the listening public that there was another shooting and there was another death. And then got to eliminate the hate. They haven't found out why, but a young woman in her 40s got stabbed to death outside her home, and she happens to be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
The press is not saying a word until it's fully investigated. They are not going to be pointing any fingers until they have all of the I's dotted and the T's crossed. So I'm giving the press credit for a change.
I don't think that they have caught him or her. I'm going to say, you know, they haven't caught the person that did it yet. I don't think. So, they're, and that you're right, Elaine, they're not saying anything, and it's probably smart not to say anything. Because if it's for the reasons that we think, you know, that's...
Well, it could be just a random, it could be just a random killing, which is tragic, but and I really would like to thank the press for using restraint.
Yes, they did. You're absolutely right.
What do you say to the politicians, especially the right-wing politicians, who say that Jewish people control banks and they're richest in the world because, you know, they're selfish and egotistical? You know, attention, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, with Jewish space lasers controlling the weather and what have you. These different silly, you know, bullshit conspiracies, you know, but yet still, you know, a person like Marjorie Taylor Greene still keep getting elected, you know? I mean, how you wrap your head around that, where, you know, it's blatant anti-Semitism and racism and whatever ism there is, you know?
You know, that lie, I grew up with that lie. That lie has been going around the world too damn much. I have Jewish friends that are just as normal and just as average as I am, and both of you are the show hosts. They're just average people. They've gone to college and became either a doctor or a misogynist, a PT person. I also know people that are Muslims that are a doctor. My husband's doctor is a Muslim, and he went to college, and he became a doctor. You know, this is this bullshit, and I can't think of a colorful word besides bullshit. This has got to stop. It just plain has to stop.
Oh, since when, you know, it's back in the day where they used to label, oh, you're like a Polak or you're a Dago, or I don't know what they called Germans at the time, but that's what they were doing. Well, they were labeling people. I don't know if you remember that. Back in the day, that's what they did. And
they still do.
Pardon?
They still do.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And now, you know, they're not saying that, but they're, you know, they label Muslims and Jews and Mexicans and Asians. And, you know, and you have to think about this. We all bleed the same. We all have the same blood. Maybe our skin is different, maybe our facial features are different, but we are all human beings in one respect or another. We're all human. So why is there such hate and divide, you know, amongst people, especially people that, you know, I can see if you get angry with, you know, corporations because you work and, you know, they're greedy and they don't treat their, you know, they don't treat their employees properly and all of that. And, you know, you get mad at the establishment and all of that. You do get upset. But why do you hate your fellow man, your fellow working man, just because their skin is different or their features are different, you know, or they're Japanese or Asian? Why? Why the hate?
Yeah, my take on this, Laurie, is the reason why Jews are hated so much is because you know, the manage their wealth effectively. They look at the past to plan for the future. And the network is incredible. They have good financial education taught over the generations. And resilience and perseverance are second nature to Jewish people. So instead of hating them, maybe people from different ethnicities can learn from them, you know?
Yes.
Because,
absolutely.
You know?
You could. Wait a minute.
We all have every type of person in our nationalities. Why are there food banks that Jewish people go to? Duh. They aren't doing so well, are they? I mean, come on. We gotta cut that crap out.
What?
Everybody should work together. not
but that's
Jewish
not going to happen. The reality, that is not happening. Elaine, I'm saying that's all well and good. That's a utopian society. I'd love that for that to happen, though. But the reality is it is not happening, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not in America, where there's so
no.
much greed and hate and distrust and religious
mm-hmm.
bigotry, you know? And all I'm saying is instead of hating on Jewish people, take a leaf out of their book to say, okay, they're doing this, they're networking, that's important. Let's network with each other and then let's network with other ethnicities and other types of businesses, you know? So everybody could win. It's a win-win situation in terms of money, in terms of making friends, in terms of whatever else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And over the generations, just see how Jewish people teach each generation how to, you know, financially manage, be responsible with money. Parents teach their children the value of money, you know. Why should, for example, in the black community, for example, I can speak on behalf of that because I'm black myself, you know, you'd have, even in the white community, you'd have a child, and this child get the best shoes, the best, you know, clothes, the name brands and everything. You know, but when it's time for school fees to be paid, oh, geez, oh, my God, where's the father? You have about four or five different fathers for different kids, you know? You don't see the Jews doing that, you know? But that's just an example. You may not agree with me, but, you know, I speak what I see in society. Not necessarily
mm-hmm.
black and white, but other ethnicities as well. The Jewish people have great restraint. You know, and they make sure that the children are educated better than they were, and it's just a generational thing. They look after one another. Do people in the African American community look after each other? No. Arguably, you know, in the white community, do they look after each other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some. Yeah, there were some, but for a majority of things. You know, we'll just tear each other down, whether black, white, whatever. But the Jews not like
yeah.
that with each other. You know,
mm-hmm.
the Native Americans are not like that with each other from what I've seen and experienced. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, the hate for the Jewish people should stop. You know, and Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about Jewish space lasers. You know, I mean, how can a woman like her be in Congress when you have such open anti-Semitism by saying crap like that? You know,
we know that she's just a hater.
We in this country have had this class warfare for as long as
mm-hmm.
I can remember listening to relatives and friends talk.
Mm-hmm.
People came to this country, many of them changed their names so that they would not be put into a box.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a name that translated into cook, and it was spelled with an S-K-I or a W-I-C-Z or an A-Q-U
mm-hmm.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because you were being put into a box and called a DP, a dumb Polack, the
mm-hmm.
parents changed the name to cook, C-O-O-K.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example of one ethnic background. And
mm-hmm.
Italians did it, and Polish did
mm-hmm.
it, Germans
mm-hmm.
did it.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones
mm-hmm.
that weren't able to do it because of their outward appearance was your people of the Oriental type race, because their eyes
mm-hmm.
are different and their skin color
mm-hmm.
is different.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we have had in this country this classism,
mm-hmm.
it has gotten out of control. It
mm-hmm.
was leveling off, and people were starting to get along, and then it got out of control. And it's been the last,
mm-hmm.
I would say, the last 30 years where it's really spiraled out of control. That's my take
mm-hmm.
on it.
Yeah,
the thing is,
from the start of the Republic, that's how it's been. The white person came from over Britain and Europe, colonize the Native Americans. That's where the racism starts, you know, and so it evolved into classism. You know, give us your hungry, give us your poor, blah, 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 and a Statue of Liberty, you know. And Italians went through it in the 1870s to the 1890s when a whole mass of them emigrated from Italy and Sicily. You know, so different groups. And now who gets it the most are Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
so it's not only sexism and racism, but classism, like Elaine said, you know, play a big role in what's happening in America. And, you know, we're formed that way before 1776, from 1600s right till today, we all had that, you know. So, but anyway, moving on to the next topic. Do big corporations
mm-hmm.
control America? Yeah, I feel they do. And there's this feedback. I don't know why. I don't know if anybody can hear it. It's annoying. It's throwing me off. So since the mid-80s, you hear it, Laurie?
I can hear it. I don't know where
okay.
it's coming from.
What do you hear?
Yeah.
Like,
me talking back to myself. I can hear myself talking. So I don't know what's happening. But anyway,
yeah.
since the mid-18th century, the development of market-based societies in America and elsewhere with constitutional protection of property and freedom has startling effects. Well over 90% of the improvement in the material living standards of ordinary people that has occurred in the last 6,000 years of recorded human history has occurred in at least 250 years or in those nations. So this is an article by James Rolfe Edwards, and he asked a question, do big corporations control America? And, you know, it's an interesting article and everything. So despite the enormous gains, this form of social organization generated for ordinary people, particularly in America, a political and ideological reaction began after the Civil War when industrialization was proceeding rapidly and lasted more than a century. A key claim of the partisans of this view, who originally called themselves progressives, is that large corporations not only dominate capitalist society economically, essentially abolishing market competition, but also dominating the political system. And that's a good sentence right there. So after
mm-hmm.
the Civil War, industrialization came in. It like was a boom for 100 years. And then because, mm-hmm. you know, somebody may have gotten a big break in a particular industry. We'll have many of them from the Gilded Age we can take examples of. You know, and instead
mm-hmm.
of having, you know, healthy competition, they just buy up the competitors and became a monopoly. And thank goodness that Teddy Roosevelt was there to antitrust bust. You know, do you think we'll ever have somebody like Theodore Roosevelt again in the White House?
Good question. Hard to say, isn't it? Really
mm-hmm.
hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would love to see somebody like him in the White House.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I don't know. You know,
which current politician today do you think is most closely, you know, aligned with the thinking of Theodore Roosevelt in terms of antitrust busting?
Hard to know.
You may disagree with me, but I think Bernie Sanders.
No way.
Understands. Why? Why no way? Why? Tell me.
Why? Because
mm-hmm.
he talks out of both sides of his mouth and through the middle. What
mm-hmm.
is, you know, he's all talk. Has he ever tried to do
mm-hmm.
anything? When he campaigned in Michigan, he put out literature
mm-hmm.
and he had a phony bug on it, a phony union sticker on it. No, I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry. I don't trust somebody like that. Hillary Clinton, what did he say about her? The minute Trump said she wasn't trustworthy, he said, yeah, I guess Hillary Clinton's not trustworthy. And then when he was called on the carpet about it, he says, well, that's politics. No, I don't trust Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Okay. the current crop of Democrats in either the House or Senate, do you think any of them, you know, have like a tenacity, like a Theodore Roosevelt? Elizabeth Warren comes to mind, for example.
She doesn't, yeah. Katie. Her and Katie.
She doesn't what?
Her and Katie. Katie. What's Katie's last name?
Katie Porter
yeah.
From California, running for the U.S. Senate. Yeah, she's another good example.
Mm-hmm. I think that those
yeah.
who could, they could stand up there and they can get things done. They're mm-hmm. eloquent mm-hmm. speakers, and they do their homework.
You know who
mm-hmm.
else comes to
mm-hmm.
mind? Eric Swalwell. I absolutely adore that man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you start thinking about it, yes. Do they reach, you know, could they reach, you know, the heights of the maybe, you know, it takes time, you know, experience and situations. Like right now, let's just say for a moment, with President Biden, you know, his
mm-hmm.
popularity up because of the way he is handling what happened in Israel. I give him for getting on a plane and going into a country just terrorized, similar to 9/11 in many ways. I give him credit for flying into Poland and from Poland getting on a train and going 9 hours, and the train was all it was all blacked out so no one could see who was in the train. And he was on that train for hours to get to Ukraine, and he walked, you know, in the cities of Ukraine, all bombed in the war zone. I find that to be amazing as a president. And that shows courage, and it shows that he is pro-democracy and cares about the and the countries that he's protecting. And he did say also that, you know, people are upset with him. Some are upset with him because of the Israelis, and they feel like he's, you know, just pro-Israel. But he's not. He is also worried about the, you know, the people in Gaza. He's put a lot of pressure on BB, whatever his name is, over there. They call him BB. And
Benjamin BB Netanyahu. Yeah.
You know, not go in and bomb Gaza because there's innocent people living there. So his strategy, you know, for now, I think is good. I think he has shown leadership. It makes me proud to see that. And it shows that he has stamina as well. So I don't know president.
We're looking at real presidential leadership, you know, compared to Donald Trump, the orange menace, the idiot.
Of course.
You know, do you think, could you picture Donald Trump jumping on Air Force One or going, you know, to a train that's blacked out through Poland?
No.
Trump is all talk.
No, absolutely not.
And Joe,
he said that Hezbollah were nice, were smart people, Davis.
He said they were smart people.
Really? They're smart people? You know, and he's mad at BB. He calls him BB. He's mad at him. I think this is why I think he's mad at him, my opinion, because when he lost in 2020, you know, BB called up President Biden and congratulated him. And I think he's mad at him from that. I really do. Because he is a tit-for-tat person. That's what he is. He's
yeah.
too selfish.
And don't get me wrong, Bibi Netanyahu is like very right wing and very crazy.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
Oh, I know. I agree. I know. I understand that, and that's why maybe it's good. I it's a good thing that, you know, President Biden is where he is right now, because can you imagine having someone in there like Orange Man who would just, you know, poke the bear? That's what he would do. In World War III.
He's beholden to Russia.
Yes. We would be in World War III in a week. I really believe that.
Yeah. That's quite preposterous that Donald Trump speaks about, oh, when he was president, there was no war and he brokered Middle East peace.
Which
is like a load of baloney. It was just garbage, you know? But anyway, I have a joke for you, ladies. Walmart is having a Jim Jordan sale, all boys' pants half off. Okay, yeah. That's some way out now. What do you think about Jim Jordan? Three times, and every time that they voted for a new House Speaker, he kept losing votes. And now 8 out of 10 Republicans running for Speaker of the House are pro-Trumpers. Do you think they'll get the shit together eventually? Because it's going on nearly a month now that we haven't had a House Speaker, so no business can be done. You know, what's your take on it first, Laurie, and then Elaine?
There's actually 9 now that are running. And you're right. I'm not sure how many are now are 2020 election deniers, because when there was 10, there were 8 that were election deniers. So I don't know which one dropped out. It's going to be another joke. It really is, because we have the 8, don't forget the 8 MAGAs that are going to disrupt everything, and the House does not have that bit much of a majority, as we all know. So it's just going to be another circus, and we have to remember November 17th, which will come quickly, is when the government will shut down. And not only that, you know, President Biden has set forth a bill for aid for Ukraine and for Israel, $105 billion. And that's not going to go anywhere until we have a Speaker of the House.
Right.
So time is of the essence. It really is.
Elaine, what's your take?
I keep trying to analyze what's going on. Jim Jordan lost by more votes each time. McCarthy does not seem to be upset. And that's got me wondering what is going on. What is the end game? And now Mitch McConnell had an interview this afternoon. I don't know when it was taken, but anyways, it was on TV this afternoon, where he is in favor of the budget allocations for Ukraine and for Jerusalem, or Israel, excuse me, Israel. And I'm sitting here thinking, why McCarthy is walking around like all smiles and happy. I mean, it's
Elaine, it doesn't compute. You know what, Elaine? I think that McCarthy, in his sick mind, thinks that he's going to be Speaker again. That's what he thinks. That's my take on it. That's my take on it. He is watching them fail, and he's saying, look, I can fix this. That's what he's going to end up doing. Look, I can fix this. They're all fighting against each other. You know, I'm telling you, McCarthy still has illusions of grandeur to be the Speaker once again, to be put back in that seat. He does. That's my opinion. Am I right? I don't know, but that's the way I feel.
It the whole thing just doesn't compute. It's, you know, I sat there this afternoon and I stared at the TV after Mitch McConnell was done talking, and I thought, the dots won't even, they're like magnets repelling when you've got the wrong poles together. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have the north to the north, it pushes away. It just is, mm-hmm. it just isn't gelling.
I think the mm-hmm. whole thing was created and planned for whatever reason to cause more confusion, to cause more division. You know, they're all, you know, at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, I'm not really sure.
Well,
you know,
if the government
planned, I do.
If the government closes down, Putin gets his way because Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
Israel do not get any money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saudis get their way mm-hmm. because they don't want Israel to get any money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So they're part of that this whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the end game must be shut the government down.
Mm-hmm. Destroy America yep. from within.
Yep.
That's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
That is the end.
Because after World War II, that's what Stalin put in motion when
mm-hmm.
Adlai Stevens, a Democrat who ran against Eisenhower in 1952 mm-hmm. and again in 1956, approached Adlai Stevens and said, hey, you know, work on our behalf. We'll pay you a good sum of money. And then Adlai Stevens went directly to Eisenhower telling him what was going on. I mean, Adlai Stevens and Ike Eisenhower literally hated each other politically. I mean, everywhere you can think of, you know, so, you know, Trump, who, you know, back in the 1980s, worked with Russian mob to get money and loans and what have you, you know, he's beholden to these Russian oligarchs, and God knows what Putin have on him, you know, to like, okay, if you don't do my bidding, then hell, you're going to go down. You know, he's
mm-hmm.
going down now with all these trials lined up. But, you know, can we trust the justice system? Because so far, we have seen how, you know, Trump has got preferential treatment. And it's sickening,
mm-hmm.
it's revolting, it's disgusting. You know,
mm-hmm.
and after announcing his candidacy for Speaker of the House, Congressman Jack Bergman from Michigan District 1, he signed a
mm-hmm.
pledge to support Republican Speaker designate following conference voting and encourage all his colleagues to join the pledge. So the conference unit of pledge encouraged every Republican to join. But do you think Republicans, you know, will sign this pledge? And if they do sign a pledge, do you think they can really unite and pick one person as speaker?
Nope.
Is it going to happen?
I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll sign the pledge, but when push comes to shove, do I think that they can get in line and choose a speaker? No. I do not.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
mm-hmm.
if the ones that are running are election deniers. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, can't happen.
Yeah.
I don't see how this is going to be good. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about the ones that are going to be running that
mm-hmm.
have decided to throw their hat into the ring. There's nine of them
mm-hmm.
That are officially running for speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been in 3 weeks of, hey, you know, we must look like a bunch of goofballs from around the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
Throwing F-bombs at each other, and they're, you know, it's disturbing. And you know what else I think before I go on to this? Why are they
mm-hmm.
still getting paid? Why are they getting paid? They should not be getting paid for any of that time. They're wasting our taxpayer dollar on their plans to destroy the government. That's what they're doing. They're
mm-hmm.
wasting our taxpayer
mm-hmm.
dollar. They shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be getting paid for any of this until they go back to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
What?
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, anyone else, David, that had a job, and it is a job, right? So it is a job. If they go there, they're supposed to do their work. They don't do their work, but they're still getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else would have been fired
mm-hmm.
by now. Fired and out
mm-hmm.
the door. Fired and out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since one of them. 3 weeks of it. It's sickening. So House Republicans will hear from each in a closed-door forum on Monday night. An internal secret ballot vote will then be held on Tuesday morning with the goal of selecting the speaker, followed by a floor vote on electing that person as early or later on Tuesday. Republicans have done this twice since Kevin McCarthy was deposed as speaker in early October. The two previous lawmakers, House Majority Leaders Steve Scalise and, of course, we know Jim GYM Jordan, could not unify the party enough to be elected as McCarthy's successor, and so they left Congress in limbo. So the first one, name is Jack Bergman of Michigan. I believe he was an election denier, by the way. Serving in his fourth term, Rep. Jack Bergman is a retired lieutenant general who spent decades in the Marine Corps. My hat is in the ring. I feel confident I can win the votes where others could not. Bergman announced on X on Friday afternoon, I have no special interest to serve. I'm only in this to do what's best for our nation and to steady the ship for the 118th Congress. He has a low profile in the chamber, Armed Services, Budget, and Veterans Affairs Committees. Byron Donalds of Florida is serving his second term after coming up through the Florida State Legislature. He has deep ties to Donald Trump and is a favorite to the hardline House Freedom Caucus. Well, he's a no, for me at least. Tom Emmer of Minnesota, after serving as the number three Republican behind McCarthy and Scalise, Emmer is seen as an emerging contender as the House Majority Whip. He is in charge of organizing other Republicans to pass key legislation. Emmer announced his bid in a letter to colleagues on Saturday. He said on X that he was running to bring our conference together and get back to work. And by the way, he has McCarthy's Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma has previously flirted with the speakership following McCarthy being voted out, but chose not to run against Jordan or Scalise. But right after Jordan ended his own bid last week, he told reporters, and I quote, at this junction, yes, I'm going to run. A short time later, he elaborated in a statement, we need a different type of leader who has proven track record of success, which is why I'm running for the Speaker of the House. You go. Mike Johnson of Louisiana, he's a fourth-term lawmaker, is a Republican vice conference chair, and previously served as chairman of the Republican Study Committee. He's also held seats on the Judiciary and the Armed Services Committee. He says, I quote, we all agree the urgency of this hour demands and a specific plan and bold, decisive action. Dan Muser of Pennsylvania, he has served in the House since 2019 and sits on the Financial Services Small Business Committees. He posted on X, Muser detailed his vision of elected speaker. I quote, we must under-promise and over-deliver and instill a sense of ownership, which will foster a culture of teamwork throughout the conference, he wrote. Gary Palmer of Alabama has been in the House since 2015 as the chair of the Republican Policy Committee. He's a number five Republican in the House. Austin Scott of Georgia first jumped into the race for Speaker to oppose Jordan, losing 81 to 124 in a secret ballot, and then throwing his backing behind the judiciary chairman. Now with Jordan out of the running, Scott is reentering for the free-for-all. He said, and I quote, if we're going to be the majority, we need to act like the majority, and that means we have to do the right things the right way, he wrote on X. Sessions of Texas, the longest tenured lawmaker to enter the race so far, Rep. Pete Sessions is serving his 13th term, 13 terms, wow, as a two-year after a two-year hiatus. I'm sorry, hiatus. Wouldn't come out right. He lost the re-election in 2018. Then he won his race in 2020. And I quote, Congressman Sessions believes he can forge a positive path as a conservative leader who can unite the conference. During his congressional career, he has played a vital role in the Republican Party in Texas and nationally, including a decade of party leadership, a spokesman said. That's it. That's who we have.
And all these people, if you know, notice, is from the Battle Belt or southern states mostly, and most of them support Trump. So it was same old, same old. You know, these people who put themselves in a race will be beholden to Trump and go by his every whim. If Trump said jump, they say how high. Baron Donald, 7th congressional district in Florida, for example, he's an African-American. And there's no way in hell they'd vote for a black man as Speaker of the House. Why? Because he's a black man, okay? They don't take minorities and they don't take women seriously in that party. Yeah, so, you know, they should give up on that. It's ridiculous. Well, we'll just have over 40 minutes left. The number to call, 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. You can get us on Facebook, as we have a Facebook group and community page. Just type in Kitchen Politics 123, and both of them will come up. Be sure to leave a message. We love hearing from everybody regarding, say, political stripes and everything. And check out our website. It's kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have merchandise on sale. We'll have T-shirts, coffee mugs, computer mouse pads, bumper stickers, you know, polo shirts. You know, we're getting our act together and gearing up for 2024 because it's going to be big. You know, imagine if Republicans win both chambers in Congress. And imagine if Donald Trump or some other loser in the Republican Party win the presidency. Where would that lead America? Do you think America would turn a dictatorship? Yes, it would.
No, we can't think in those terms. No, we just cannot. I think Liz Cheney is thinking about throwing her hat into the ring. Not a bad thing. You know, she's still a Republican, but at least she has, you know, scruples.
Yeah, maybe she has the ability to tell the truth compared to others who run in the race now. So at least 59 billionaires reported giving a total of nearly $100 million to a pair of super PACs dueling for control of the U.S. House of Representatives. These party-aligned groups have hoarded much of the cash so far, but if history is any indication, the floodgates are about to be open for 2024. The Republican Party has significantly deep-pocketed help from at least 42 billionaires and their spouses, whose political donations will likely pay for a wave of ads leading up to the November 2024 elections. So these billionaires and their spouses have funneled $79 million in the Congressional Leadership Fund, and the GOP's main super PAC dedicated to electing House Republicans according to the Federal Election Commission records. That's nearly half of the $189 million the PAC has raised this election cycle as of its most recent filing and receipts from September 12th. So, you know, Republicans have it down pat when it comes to super PAC and everything. These billionaires and multi-billionaires, they really, like, buy influence on Capitol Hill. And it's also nearly 80% of the $98 million that the Democrats' competing House Majority PAC has received from all sources as of its most recent filing of receipts through August 31st. You know, so as a spokesperson for the PAC told Forbes magazine, it raised $36 million in September. And the New York Times first reported that as well. So the hedge fund tycoon, his name is Ken Griffin, led the way for Republicans, giving the Congressional Leadership Fund $18.5 million of his own money. So a spokesperson for Griffin told Forbes magazine that, quote, Ken wants to elevate talented candidates and broaden the tent of the Republican Party to make it more representative of our country. He supports leaders who will focus on education, job creation, public safety, and strong national defense so that every individual has access to an American dream. So compare that. 42 billionaires and their spouses gave $79 million to the Republican Political Action Committee, compared to 17 billionaires on the Democratic side and their spouses who donated $20 million to the Democratic PAC. You know, $79 million compared to $20 million. You know, that's a big, you know, difference right there. But again, it's billionaires buying influence. We need we need money like that outside of politics. What's your take, Lori?
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. That is just buying the election. That's all it's doing. It's buying the candidates. And not only does it buy the candidates, it buys their thoughts and their ideas as well, because it's probably not their thoughts and not their ideas that, you know, are going to be made into law. It's whomever is giving them the money. It's their thoughts and their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Three billionaires donated
$10 million apiece to the GOP Super PAC. Their names are Patrick Ryan. He owns a private equity. He's an insurer, I should say. And private equity moguls Stephen Schwartzman and Cassina Harris, Miriam Adelson, Sheldon Adelson's daughter, I think, if I remember correctly. Banking heir Timothy Mellon, whose family is worth an estimated $11.5 billion, contributed to $10 million. You know, so, I mean, Paul Singer, for example, gave $4 million or more since the 2020 election cycle till now. You know, they're just like pumping money into the Republican coffers, you know, and the Republican House Majority PAC has plenty of big backers as well. The total amount contributed was much less, $79 million, compared to, $20 million. And the billionaires for Democrats are Connie Ballmer, the former wife of Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, who made $1 million contributions. Her ex-husband Steve Ballmer didn't contribute anything. You know, so just over a quarter of the total came from the richest Americans in crypto. Sam Bankman-Fried, who is on trial now for the FXT exchange and trading scandal. He directed $6 million of his $39 million in total political contributions this year, or last year, I should say, to the House Majority PAC. You know, so, you know, it's just buying influence, like I said earlier. And I don't think that, for now, it depends on the makeup of the Supreme Court. If they get a progressive-leaning side for the Supreme Court, then we could have meaningful change. Other than that, I see for the next 25, 30 years that conservatives control the bench. And it's going to get worse and worse because of changing the hands of time backwards. You know, they're trying everything in the power to go back to the Jim Crow laws that gave minorities little or no, well, not little, no freedoms. And it's just a shit show, basically, where the white man is on top, everybody else is below, you know, and you have to play their game to move up in society. And this classism and sexism and racism that happen in America, you know, they try to be subtle with it, but it's really not, you know, and we need to change.
And, you know, David, then they claim that they care more about, you know, the policies more than politics. That's a bunch of bull. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what I'm trying to say? If they really care, then they would donate the amount of money to each party. They really would. I mean, if you don't care about politics, then you just donate, you know, to a Republican candidate and a Democratic candidate. and give them the same amount of money. Why would you give the Republican one more than the Democrat if you don't care about politics? You know, that's a lie right there. You know, and we know it. It's just to buy what they need for when they need it, you know, to have maybe something passed that they need so they can maybe build a skyscraper and they can get away with, you know, who knows.
Lori's breaking up.
Pardon?
Lori, you're breaking up.
Oh, I am? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You know, it's just, like I said, it's, it's just all wrong. It's wrong. It has to end. How it's going to end, I don't know. You know, then we can go back to, you know, having to knock on doors and get $5, you know, through the mail type thing. $5 donated to you. I mean, what, how, okay, look at it this way. If you're just a common person and you're educated, you have an education, and you want to run for office because you feel that you could make a change and you could do things, you could better people's lives, the whole nine yards. But you don't have the money to do it. You'll never get elected. I've seen it here in Michigan. You know, good people that don't have the money can't get elected. They just, it's just not a possibility, you know? So basically the system is rigged, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And to show how rigged it is, in 2016 election cycle, the Koch brothers, Charles and David, they sent shockwaves through the political landscape because they put together, through Freedom Partners, is a business group in California, you know, they raised spent $889 million in the 2016 election cycle to beat Hillary Clinton and supported Donald Trump and everything. And the Brookings Institute press book, people have to get it. I'm going to get it. Billionaires, Reflection of the Upper Crust. You know, that's a book written about political campaign donations and who benefits from it and who suffers mostly from it. And the donor class, it gives you a background on the donor class and how to think and why to contribute to political parties and everything. So a few billionaires devoted several hundred million dollars seeking to defeat Barack Obama, but lost miserably. And the Republicans nominated a candidate who was Easter caricature or as out of touch plutocrat, who didn't share the values of ordinary Americans. So the president was successful in using a stereotype to mobilize voters, expand the electorate, and appeal to the basic fairness on the part of the general public. And Barack Obama put together this network that has never been seen in the past, nor even presently. You know, so Barack Obama to me is a legend. And, you know, nobody can copy or blueprint what he did. I don't think, you know, in the next 20 to 30 years, somebody could be as organized when running for president or any office that Barack Obama was. You know, I mean, he's an icon. Oh, yeah, feedback. He's an icon in American politics. And people on both sides can learn from him. That, you know, from grassroots level up, you know, taking corporate donations is the way to go. Because when you have that grassroots movement, people who are not usually involved in parties will get involved and say, you know what, this person really care about, you know, my well-being, moving my family forward, you know, and caring about the vast majority of Americans, not this inclusive thing or exclusive thing where, oh, you know, you're a rich donor. Okay, so you have free access to me because you donated X amount. No, that didn't work with Barack Obama. So Democrats should take a page out of his book. And, you know, but they don't have any choice because right now Republicans having 42 billionaires donating since the last election cycle, 2020. You know? We'll have to push back because grassroots money alone can't do it. I'm not saying it's right, but it's a necessity. You know? And until we change that system, we can truly move on and include, you know, the blue-collar worker that works in a factory the coal miner, you know, the housewife, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can get things together. But Republicans on every turn, because of the misinformation and the lies, you know, the trick people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Donald Trump. He said, oh, I love the poorly educated. The shirt about that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's insulting you in your face, and you're sure for a man who ridicule you like that and then vote for him. There's something wrong in this country when an idiot like Donald Trump, you know, can sit back and get away with it.
Yep.
Well, I digress.
I want to talk a minute about, I don't know if all of you remember, I'm sure you do, David Hogg. He is the Parkland survivor. Remember from the 2018 mass shooting, he has started an organization. It's called Leaders We Believe, and I think that it's important that we know about this because it is basically for, like I was talking before, the ones that do not have the money but they have the drive to want to change the world. So here's a few key takeaways about the group. So a ton of you thought we should focus on battleground districts to maximize our chances of flipping seats. And many of you want us to focus on safe Democratic districts to push the entire Democratic Party to prioritize issues important to young people. Well, that's our strategy. The three issues that respondents made a priority, the most were reproductive rights, climate change, and gun violence. And I've been saying this over and over. These are the three things that the millennials and the Gen Zers are going to vote on. These are the three things that are important to them, reproductive rights, climate change, gun violence. These are the important issues for youth voters, and Leaders We Deserve is a laser focus on supporting young movement leaders who will tackle these issues with the urgency they demand. Most people said that they wanted to hear more about upcoming races, and we're endorsing candidates. So stay tuned because they are endorsing candidates. So if you want to donate to them, because I believe that this is something that can turn into something bigger. So you can donate $5, and it is if you want to send a check, because I don't see a website. I see a check. Leaders, we deserve. I'm sorry. If you want to send a check. Leaders We Deserve, 611 Pennsylvania Avenue, Southeast, number 192, Washington, D.C., 20003. And then their email is info@leaderswedeserve.com. I believe that this is the beginning of something. It's young people wanting to change the world and change our world, I should say, in our country. And like I said before, there are three main goals. Are the abortion rights and climate change and gun violence. Those are their top three. So I just wanted to share that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
So the power elite wields power in America, transparently through its support for think tanks, foundations. Yeah, for some reason I hear this clicking in the background.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the hell is happening. I don't know why I'm breaking up because, I'll try to, like, speak. Yeah, Block Talk Radio. Yeah, let me not say it. Mm-hmm. That'll be off air. So the power elite wields power in America transparently through the think tanks that they have, with foundations, the commissions, and economic departments in various universities across the country. So additionally, the elite control institutions through overt authority and not through covert influence. I don't know how to say it. The pushing nationalism, you know, mm-hmm. the Republican Party pushing nationalism, and Donald Trump mm-hmm. is pushing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's this documentary that named Who Rules America, and, you know, it shows a dangerous concentration of power and wealth in American upper mm-hmm. class,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the power elite wields power through these foundations and everything. Should, you know, Democrats or left-leaning people hit back with foundations like those, you know, from a different perspective? I mean, you know, the money is there and everything. We don't have mm-hmm. people like the Heritage Foundation trying to influence mm-hmm. everything and change,
mm-hmm.
you know, the political direction of America. You know, what liberal or progressive think tank is as powerful as them? You know, should we inject more money into organizations like that? Or do you think think tanks in general really like crippling America's progress in terms of, cultural togetherness? But you get what I'm saying? You see where I'm getting
yeah.
at?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have some think tanks, organizations, don't we? How about Brookings Institution?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think of, you know, like for Democrats, I'm not sure. Just trying to think what we have. Let's see. Okay, so they are mainly, what their think tank is, an institution, a corporation, or a group of organized people that research with the objective of providing advice on diverse range of policy issues and products through the use of specialized knowledge and the activation of mm-hmm. networks. And they're mainly nonprofit organizations. Do you know of any that are Democrat, David? At the top of my head, I can't even think of any right now. You threw a curveball
at me. Yeah,
that's
the thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, that's the thing. You know, mm-hmm. I can name Heritage Foundation, right wing.
Yeah.
You know?
It is.
The Cooper Institute, right wing. You know, so
yeah.
off the top of my head, I can't think of any left-leaning progressive organization, you know, that can go up against, groups like that.
Okay. So in response to your answer, maybe we should have think tanks that are right, left-leaning and progressive-leaning think tanks. Yes,
mm-hmm.
we should.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because at the Heritage Foundation, and we know that they're definitely conservative and right-wing, you know, we need to
mm-hmm.
bring some objection to that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because the Brookings Institute is
mm-hmm.
an American think tank, and hopefully I'm right. I think they're left-leaning, they're progressive, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I mean...
Okay, I did find one, David. It's called the Network of Democracy Research Institute, NDRI. It's a
mm-hmm.
global think tank network. The Network of Democracy Research Institute is a global network of think tanks that conduct research
mm-hmm.
and analysis on democracy, related topics in comparative government and international affairs. the NDRI, the Keep Network, and the World Movement for Democracy, and is coordinated by the NED, International Forum for Democratic Studies. The NDRI's mission is to foster interaction among international think tanks, democracy scholars, and activists in order to analyze the status and the problems of democracy, identify examples of think and policy and innovation, determine factors that contribute to the consolidation of democracy, promote policy discussions among citizens and between citizens and government, foster and strengthen democratic values, principles, and ideas, enhance think tank capacity to influence major public policy development, and finally, identify and stimulate debate about institutional reforms to achieve these goals. That's a left-leaning one.
Another one is the Center for American Progress, or CAP. It was founded in 2003. It's a public-policy research and advocacy organization which presents a liberal viewpoint on economics and social issues. They're located in Washington, D.C., and the president and chief executive officer of CAP, his name is Patrick Gaspard. He's an African-American. He's a former diplomat, organizer, and labor leader who served most recently as the president of the Open Society Foundation. So Mr. Gaspard succeeded Neera Tanden, who was appointed special advisor to President Joe Biden in May 2021. Tanden previously worked for the Obama and Clinton administrations and for Hillary Clinton's campaign running for president. So the first president and CEO was John Podesta. We remember him from North Carolina. He was once chief of staff for Bill Clinton during his first term. And he served as chairman for the 2016 presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton. So Podesta remained within the organization's chairman of the board until joining the Obama White House in December 2013. So the Center for American Progress is relatively new. In 2003, they were formed. But the Brookings Institute is, from what I read there, is nonpartisan. And the Cato Institute is right-leaning, and the list goes on and on. Yeah, most of them are either libertarian or conservative/libertarian. So, you know, we need more progressive think tanks to take on these right-wing nut jobs, you know. And the General Progress is another organization that was founded in 2005. It's the youth arm of the Center for American Progress. And the Generation Progress partners with over 1 million millennials. So that's a good way of registering people, the millennials, to vote and everything. And Think Progress, active in the years 2005 to 2019, is an American Progressive News website affiliated with the Center for American Progress with editorial independence. You know, so, you know, Democrats and left-leaning people trying and everything. And I have a fund, the Center for American Progress Action Fund, is a sister advocacy organization of the American Progressive, or Center for American Progressive Action. Washington Center for Equitable Growth is another branch of that movement. Science Progress is another branch. This is the Justice Initiative. It's all part of this Center for American Progress, you know, that deal with social issues as well as economic issues that help minorities in terms of health care, in terms of, you know, transparency and funding sources, you know, the fight against anti-Semitism, the fight against the suppression of criticism to Israel. They're big free speech opponents. You know, so we need to, like, help organizations like the Center for American Progress, you know, to fight back against people at the Cato Institute and what have you. Our Cato Institute has been around for a long time now. And, you know, when they control the media, because people who control the Cato Institute and what have you, right-wing organization, they're part of the ownership of the corporation in terms of the media. So when we let them say the narrative report the narrative, you know, it's formed the opinion of regular Americans who really don't know what's going on in the back scenes, you know, back of the, you know, like back, you know, like back of the house where, okay, this deal's weird, this deal's weird, that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have enough time, but there's a lot of PACs that donate money as well. Act Blue is a big one. I've donated to that one many times. Win Red. There's the Senate Majority PAC, Senate Leadership Fund, Congressional Leadership Fund, House Majority PAC, Democracy PAC, Club for Growth, Save America, Emily's List, Service Employees International Union, Progressive Turnout Project, Americans for Prosperity, Make America Great Again, PIC 2021, MoveOn.org, League of Conservative Voters, American Israel Public Affairs Committee, American Bridge 21st Century, National Association of Realtors. So there's tons of PACs. That's just one little small list. So there are tons of PACs that give to both Republicans and Democrats. So I feel that, number one, there should be a limit to how much they can give to each. Maybe, I have no comprehension of, I don't know how to say how much, but there should be a limit for each one. And also, you know, because the amount of money that they give, I mean, it's in the millions of dollars. And it's basically just buying influence. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So for, you know, for these campaigns. And they're not all for Republicans. They're both Republican and Democrat. So why can't they rein this in and just, you know, make them do with less so that we can don't have to have a two-year election cycle, you know, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, win an election and they're already asking for money for their next election down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. So,
yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I guess with that Supreme Court decision about corporations being people, I agree with Mitt Romney, and, you know, until we change that, until we have a different build-up of the Supreme Court with more progressive judges, and we always have that, you know, it's... And tomorrow night, we're going to talk about Project 2025. It is how think tanks and right-leaning billionaires are trying to rewrite the history of the United States and trying to, like, control the narrative in terms of women's rights, gay rights, immigration rights, workers' rights, all those things. People fought for many decades to have those things, but yet still these billionaires who are right-leaning and some of them even nationalists, you know, by these partitions and try to control the narrative and rewrite the history, whitewash history in the past, and trying to steer America in a direction of nationalism and possibly one day a dictatorship. So Project 2025 is what we'll talk about tomorrow night, the whole 2 hours. And then that may come up on everything. I hope you can join us then tomorrow night. We're on Block Talk Radio every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. I want to thank everybody for, like, sharing across our social media and everything.
Yes, thank you.
You know, we're growing as a business. We have our website. We're going to have more articles with some guest writers as well. We're going to have merchandise on that website, kitchenpartics123.com. We're going to have LinkedIn. We're going to have YouTube channel. The only thing we're not going to have is Twitter, no call X. It's too toxic. You know, freedom of speech is not freedom of speech there. It's just hate, and toxicity. And, you know, we don't want that, you know.
No.
I mean, believe in the First Amendment, but when lines are spewed, you know, who has time to sit in front of a computer 8-9 hours to dispute and try to teach facts, you know?
I don't want it. No. Instagram as well, David.
Yes, Instagram. And future is TikTok. We'll get all this together. TikTok is the last thing we'll focus on. We try to get the millennials and the younger groups who never voted before to get interested in politics and register. I'll thank Taylor Swift, you know, for the work she's doing, encouraging her fan base to register and vote. It's a very important thing. We don't want a dictatorship in America. We want democracy. We're defenders of democracy. I will not let Republicans slip away with what they've been getting away since 2016. You know, it's not acceptable. We're better than this. So I want to thank Elaine for calling in, and Khalil, and everybody for listening. I hope you're entertained and well-informed. We do our best every week to try to put information out there so people, you know, can be aware of what's happening in politics and even pop culture on occasion. So, you know, this has been Season 5, Episode 46, Who Really Rules America, tomorrow night, Project 25. So I hope you can join us tomorrow night for that episode. So until tomorrow night and Thursday night, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. And I do hope you'll join us tomorrow night. It's going to be an important episode because we do want to talk about the conservative side of what they have planned. Good night, all.
No way you can deny me. Marcher.